that he thinks that the explanation of the number of vocations in the family, which he was interested in, is because of Dad's attitude, which was kind of a prod and a spur, and left a smart in with everybody. Religion couldn't be a dead issue in the family, and then because you took the sting out of it by your warm approach to religion or your human interest in the children, why the smart didn't do them the harm that it would have without that. What do you think about that?
Well, that's probably very true, because it has bothered me at times, particularly after two or three went away, and a priest remarked to me, "They're just following like sheep." But when two of the boys went into the seminary and stayed 9 months, and the other one 2 years, and then decided that they were not going to continue and came out, then I felt more comfortable, because I felt that if they had had vocations, they would have stayed, and they knew they weren't coming out to any easy time of it at home, that Dad would be disappointed and would probably make it a little difficult for them, so that my mind was set very much at ease that those two came home and lived their own lives and are now married and have children and leading good Catholic family life, that when the last little girl wanted to go into the convent and told me so, I was very glad to hear about it, and very comfortable that they had vocations, those that were in, and would stay, and that if they hadn't had vocations, they would have come back.
Well, you're just as happy then to have one of the children enter religion as an American.
Oh, I would have been happy for all of them to have entered religion. But now that I have some grandchildren, I'm happy to have some married.
Many women like to have a division in their family between girls and boys. Your first two children were boys. How did that impress you?
Oh, I was heartbroken, because my mother only had one sister, and that sister had two children, and my mother had the two children, the baby who died and myself, and I felt that I was just going to have the two children. So when the second baby was a boy, I cried bitterly, not knowing, of course, what I was going to have afterwards. But I was most disappointed to think I wasn't going to have any girls. And then the girl was born, and then a boy, and then two girls, and then one of those two girls was the baby who died. And that still left me only two girls with four boys. So it even then wasn't discernible that there were going to be many girls.
Do you think that that a woman wants to have girl children because of the help that they expect to get around the house, or what?
I don't know. Some women say they want girls and they want all girls, and some say they want boys. Probably they're thinking that the boys might help them more in a financial way, and the girls might help them more in the house. But to me, it never was any problem, girls or boys, after that second time. I didn't mind whether I had girls or boys, so long as they were healthy and well and normal children.
After about the fifth child, and you didn't make any difference anymore?
No, because then I had three boys straight, and then three girls straight.
Well, what do you think the attitude of the parent ought to be about whether it's a boy or a girl?
Oh, I think most parents, they might have a preference, but after the baby's born, they're perfectly satisfied what God sends them. I think that's the usual attitude of parents.
Do you remember anything special about the first girl, about her birth, or how it affected you?
I don't remember anything special about her birth, but I do remember about her grandfather, who took the attitude that this girl was practically an only child, and that everything had to be bought new for her. So he went out and bought her a new coach and a new crib and a new high chair, and she was really queen of the house and had every sort of convenience and everything else that a child could get, because she was a girl. But she proved to be a very worthy girl and able to stand it all without being spoiled by it, because there were too many more after her.
Did you say any special prayers or have any special relationship to God on account of the children coming or the time children come?
Yes. I, of course, always had some devotion to the St. Gerard for safe delivery.
Even from the first child?
Even from the beginning. And of course, the first child was the biggest novelty of all, because I knew nothing of children. Being an only child, I knew nothing of babies, I knew nothing of children. And it's a wonder that he wasn't completely spoiled and ruined. But he wasn't. He wasn't, and it wasn't due to myself. It was due to his father, because his grandmother and I would certainly have ruined him if we'd had the chance. But I do remember one child in particular that I thought, when the time was about the time that I thought that I might conceive a child, and I offered that child, girl or boy, whichever it might be, to our Lord, and asked him to take the baby for his particular service. And it happens that that boy is a priest, and I hope a very good one, and I feel a very good one, and doing very hard work for God. That always happened, because, you see, I never was, my senses were never disturbed by an anesthetic. I was always in full control of my senses and always knew what was going on and always had the opportunity to sever till the last minute until the baby was born. So at a time like that, even though you're in pain and you know that a baby is about to be born, you know that it'll soon be over. And you know that it's doing God's work. And that if you're doing God's work and you're being a co-creator with him, well, your mind sort of goes that, well, he should help you. And what you do is turn to him and ask him at the time to let the results of this pain be of some value to him as well as to you.
Do you feel that the increasing number of children increases your length with God?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely. I don't say that every time I knew I was pregnant that I knelt down and said, well, it's all right. It took me a couple of months before I really was submissive to the idea of having another baby when they came so fast. I had to bring myself around to it. And
why
I only brought myself around to it by prayer and submission.
Why was that? Because it was the pain?
It was the thought of carrying another baby for 9 months and of the delivery at the end. It never is easy. It always entails a certain amount of of suffering and hardship. And of course, there's always the idea or the thought of danger. You always go down into the valley of death. There's always an opportunity or a chance that you might not come back. Of course, I know they say that a woman dies in childbirth goes to heaven, but there's always that chance there. So you can't be absolutely unconscious of it or indifferent to it. And no matter how easy it is, it's never easy. No matter how normal it is, it's never easy. There's always a certain amount of distress and discomfort and pain.
But the pain isn't a sharp pain like a dentist drilling your tooth, is it?
The end it is. And that lasts for hours.
Is it always that way?
Always that way. Always. I don't know of any time that it isn't, because naturally it's naturally painful. All your other organs are pushed out of position, and they're all distorted, and your body is in a completely different state of normality. It's not normal at all. And all that has to be